All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty. Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
What ho, lords and ladies, welcome to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, our special Toy Fair edition.
What the hell are you doing?
Toy Fair.
No, it's not that kind of fair.
In the old Renaissance, they had toys that were both magical.
No, this isn't sausage on a stick. We don't go dressed as toys.
Why do I go dressed as an ugly doll, then?
That's personal. What you do in your free time... That's up to you.
You said when we went that I had to dress up for the occasion.
That's right. I meant comfortable shoes, perhaps something that won't make you sweat so much, depending on if you're in the Hasbro lecture hall or showroom.
Oh, my.
You know, it's fucking.
No, all kidding aside, though, OG and I did just attend the International Toy Fair.
We did, in fact, do that.
2012.
Yes.
The Jacob Javits Center in New York City and surrounding locales. At least two. Schnippers.
Right.
And our annual pilgrimage to Schnippers. And, of course, the Hasbro presentation in the lovely New York Times Center.
Right. And then we had a satellite visit also to Toy Tokyo.
That's true.
Underground art gallery.
Yeah. Is that what that's called? The underground?
Yeah. I think it's called... Right. Tokyo Underground.
And I have to say, as far as Toy Fair goes, that may be one of the highlights for me.
That was the highlight. that was the highlight for me.
And this isn't disparaging any of the things that we saw, because we haven't started that yet.
No, we'll get
but
there.
This is just saying, as far as an overall experience goes, the Four Horsemen reception for the Outer Spaceman line was fabulous.
It was indeed a fabulous, rollicking good time.
And we hung out with
Hollywood?
With Hollywood. Yeah.
You know,
Hollywood royalty, the Suck Lord.
I was having an entire conversation with Hollywood about
You should not call him Hollywood.
Sorry. Oh, only you're allowed to call him Hollywood? I was having an entire conversation.
I don't want to ruin your relationship with him.
All right. I was having an entire conversation with Morgan about Star Wars and going to see the films,
right,
and whether or not we were going to go see them and in 3D, et cetera, et cetera. And Ken, photographer Ken, whatever you want to call him, was there with us. He was part of the conversation as well.
Uh-huh.
And when the conversation ended, Suck Lord walked away. And I had mentioned something like, oh, blah, 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 Suck Lord. And Ken goes, oh, is he here tonight? I just stopped and I'm like, dude,
you just had a 10-minute conversation with him.
You just talked to the guy like for the last 10 minutes.
Well, you know, not for nothing, but the Suck Lord.
Yes.
Off of greatest work of art or next great artist.
That's right.
Is a different fella.
He is a different fella.
Perhaps not as well kept as the TV version.
He was not in his TV persona.
No, he was just like his regular.
He was like
in
Morgan.
His regular.
He was hanging out.
Yeah, that's all.
Good people, nonetheless.
Drinking, eating, enjoying toys. We had great conversations with him. Both of us, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Individual great conversations with him.
Absolutely.
And we found out all sorts of awesome stuff that the Four Horsemen are doing.
Some awesome. We'll get to that.
Awesome. We'll get to that.
Let's. How about we do this?
Geek stuff. What's in the news? All right.
News. I got three things.
Wait.
Oh, we're not editing that. I know. I'm vetoing that right now. I'm vetoing the news beep.
We need to have that.
No.
Yeah, the 10-10 none of that in the background.
I'm John Montone.
I'm John Montone.
We're getting too local.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. I'm going to give you a choice. We can do Marvel. We could do...
So far, the choices suck.
We could do Lucas.
Better.
Or we can do IDW.
Let's take IDW first.
All right. In what I am calling the shittiest crossover in the near future.
Okay.
Doctor Who and Star Trek.
Okay, now...
IDW crossover.
Yeah, now IDW, of course, is the publisher of... the Doctor Who comics in this country.
That's correct.
And maybe in the world, but I'm sure this country. And it is also the publisher of Star Trek comics in this country.
Also correct.
So it kind of stands to reason that they would want to cross over these two great sci-fi icons. Of course, all this is going to do is stir up the Whovian, Trekkie, you know, discomfort.
Could I
just share with you a story briefly? I saw two Whovians get their ass kicked at a Star Trek convention in 1985.
Wow.
It was the second con I ever went to, and they said something bad about Star Trek, and some pushing started, and the next thing you know, there was all sorts of colors of shirts beating up guys with really, really long scarves. It was a throwdown. I'm not even making that up. That actually happened at a New York Star Trek festival, one of those... what were they like? Starlog used to run all the Trek cons in the 80s in New York in that awful hotel where they
had
them, whatever. Well, I don't remember what it was called then. Now it's like the Pennsylvania Hotel, Pennsylvania,
the Penn Plaza Pavilion.
No, like,
that's not what it was.
That's
right.
No, that's the space next door. This was actually in the hotel.
Oh, yes. That was that. Other story, another time. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And it's right across from Madison Square Garden, but it was called something different then.
Right.
I don't know what else. But that is a goddamn honest true story. I know it happened 100 years ago, but that is a true story. So I think what IDW is trying to do is to capitalize on both audiences by combining the book. Is there more to the story, or just that it's going to happen?
Well, no. I mean, it's coming soon. We know who the villains are going to be. In the story, it's going to be
somebody we don't know from Doctor Who.
No, well, I know it's going to be the Metal Men. Who you might you not Metal Men, Cybermen. Sorry,
oh my God, the Metal Men.
And
that would be an awesome crossover. Yeah.
And the Borg.
Okay, well, yeah.
So that... both are like assimilate,
right?
Kind of villains. To me, my problem is that I can only assume it's going to be a lot of shoehorning of like one mythos into the other.
You know what, though? With Doctor Who being a time travel thing and it being and Trek being an Earth story, it's plausible that these things could combine. I can see the plausibility of it. Will it be great? I don't know. But that said, and I haven't read a single issue yet, so I'm completely relying on the word of others. That Star Trek book that they're doing now, that is the new sort of, it's the new universe,
right,
created by the J.J. Abrams movie.
Right.
But they're addressing the old stories, which we said is what the movie should be doing. IDW jumped right on it and was like, no, we'll tell these stories, you know, at least for now. They're telling the stories sort of chronologically the way the original series went, but with the new set of information,
right,
and the new iterations of the characters. I hear that book is phenomenal.
I hear that as well. But what we should say then, since you brought that up, so there's no confusion, this is going to be the Next Generation Star Trek cast.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it's the 11th Doctor. Well, so that, it's Matt Smith, the current Doctor.
Right. Well, it would make sense again, because I guess the most up-to-date crew would be the Next Generation crew.
Yeah, I know. To me, it just seems like it's going to be a lot of
hooey.
Yeah, it's going to just be, no pun intended, it's going to just be a lot of shoehorning of two mythos to try to get a coherent story.
Right.
Look, maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe I'll be pleasantly. I'm just not.
Since you brought up Doctor Who, I want to say that we have been receiving a lot of questions and comments and concern about where is Little Fifi's Who stuff.
Oh, she's here.
Oh, she's here.
She's around.
We are getting everything back up and on track, as we've discussed with you all in the past couple of weeks. And Little Fifi's Who stuff is definitely coming back. We will definitely be hearing from Little Fifi. We just need to get her up and running and hooked up and all that jazz.
We had to get the show.
Yeah.
Itself up and running.
Right.
And then we could start plugging in all the add-ons.
Right.
Getting everything else smooth. But
and speaking of which, we're not gonna have an episode next week.
Well, but that's not due to show problems, that's personal conflicts.
Yeah, speaking of personal conflicts, we didn't number the show. This is episode 237, isn't
239.
It? 239. Ooh, 9.
Ah, you're off by a couple, it's all right.
239 Toy Fair.
That's right.
My lord.
All right, let's move
you, my lord.
Let's move on with the news. Lucas or Marvel?
Well, let's see. Lucas.
All right. According to George Lucas, let's see.
He hates Star Wars.
In a Q&A with Hollywood Reporter, Lucas tried to make his case that Greedo indeed shot first.
What? Really?
Yep. He said that originally it was a tight shot, and so there were certain things that were lost, and so when he did the special editions and he fixed it up, he tried to show a wider shot, and that, you know, fans just want to believe that Han would kill Greedo in cold blood and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of bullshit.
You know what, whether it is or not, who cares?
All right, you're absolutely right. The truth of the matter is, who cares? But if we wanted to I just want to get my thoughts behind it out there, and then we can move on. To me, logically, it makes no sense for Greedo to shoot first. It makes no sense for Greedo to shoot Han.
Well, he collects the bounty dead or alive.
I don't know. But Han, I guess. But Han wasn't threatening at that point. He didn't know Han had a gun. It was under the table.
It doesn't matter whether it's threatening or not. He had his... Ha ha, I have you now, Mr. Bond.
And was it definitely dead or alive?
I think it was definitely dead or alive.
See, because that's the one thing that I'm not sure about, if it was definitely dead or alive, which would make the change.
I would think it would be dead or alive.
All right, but so here's the other thing then. So later on in the special edition, after Greedo is killed, when Han runs into Jabba and some of Jabba's guards.
Is that after?
That's after he shoots Greedo.
Okay.
In Mos Eisley. Why doesn't Jabba have him killed on the spot?
Are we sure that's after?
I'm pretty positive that's after.
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Because I think Jabba actually... I think Solo says something to Jabba about killing Greedo.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't know. To me, it's who cares. All right, let's move on.
Just let me ask you this question.
Sure.
What version will Wobbles see?
Wobbles will see theatrical first.
First theatrical.
Yeah. And then eventually he'll upgrade to special edition.
Gotcha.
Because I have theatrical on DVD.
Right. At least three versions.
At least a handful of versions.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then we'll get to Blu-ray when the time is appropriate.
And when he can understand.
When he can understand.
This is a mistake.
Right. Well, yeah, I want him to appreciate it, hopefully the same way that I did.
Yes.
And then.
Hopefully.
And then not appreciate it the same way that I did.
Hey, I got you.
All right. Let's
now, what
move
are
on.
My, what are my news choices now?
No, Marvel. That's it.
Or take a break?
No. Or move on with the show.
Right.
No, you're going to want to talk about this.
Yeah, I know. That's what the problem is.
Gary Friedrich.
Uh-huh.
Gary Friedrich, creator of Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Lost a lawsuit against Marvel.
Uh-huh.
Because he felt that he was owed money for particularly or specifically rather from the film.
Right.
From the success of the film.
Right.
Marvel countersued because they were being sued. And said that
not only do you get no money,
right, but you owe us money for selling prints, sketches, etc., of the character,
right,
that Gary has been doing at cons over the past blah blah blah
40 years,
whatever. Now, I think they limited it to a specific period,
but I
don't know what that period was exactly. And the judge ruled in favor of Marvel. Our opinions differ on this situation.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm gearing up for.
So,
do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I feel bad for Gary.
Okay, we agree on that.
Okay. But I think that, and I feel this way about a lot of these lawsuits that come up, by the way. I think that when Gary created the character, he was an employee of Marvel. And did not own the rights to the character.
Okay.
Gary would agree to that, actually. But he thinks that there was supposed to be something in the contract where the rights reverted back to him sometime in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Which apparently was not the case. There was no documentation to prove it.
Okay.
So, I think the judge made the right decision. I think Marvel was kind of a D-bag for suing the guy.
Right.
However, Gary poked the snake. The snake bit back.
Okay.
My point being is if he had never sued over the rights to the movie.
Right. He wouldn't have got sued.
He wouldn't have gotten sued by Marvel.
Okay.
Because Marvel's made no indication that they were ever going to pursue him. And they don't regularly pursue other artists
anybody.
Who do the same thing.
Exactly. So let's talk about that. It has been a time-honored tradition that artists, particularly those who are associated with a particular character, will draw that character at conventions and create prints or whatever of the character that they sell at conventions. And it's a time-honored tradition. Everybody does it.
That's right.
Everybody. I mean, name a
everybody
character.
Does it.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody does it.
Right.
And nobody writes on there on those sketches copyright Marvel.
Correct.
No one writes on those prints. Sometimes they do copyright Marvel, whatever the hell it is. No one ever does that.
No.
Right. So to sue a guy for doing that is setting a precedent that's going to hurt other artists.
All right.
It's going to prevent other artists. It's going to make them scared.
I think this is what happened, though. In all honesty, I think Marvel did it as a means of squashing future artists from trying to sue that Marvel for rights that Marvel claims the artists don't own. I hate to say it because I feel bad for the guy, but I agree that in all likelihood, when the contract was made,
right,
and Gary can't prove otherwise, so in all likelihood, when the contract was made, it was work for hire. If you work for a major pharmaceutical company, let's say,
and you develop cancer.
a drug.
Right. Cure for cancer.
Right. Cure for cancer. That company owns the rights to that drug.
I understand that.
You did it in their employ.
But, you know, not all contracts in comics worked that way. And we went through this. We've gone through this 100 different ways already.
But I kind of agree.
That said,
in a lot of the cases,
if he sued Marvel over a contract that he thought specifically gave him the rights to a character, and ergo he felt he should have been paid for the movie or whatever the situation was, and he lost, and there was nothing, they couldn't prove that he owned the character, that the rights reverted, or whatever the situation, whatever they claimed was, then unfortunately you have to agree with the decision of the court because that's the law. It's shitty because they've never done that to anyone else who created any characters. Stan Lee appears in every one of the Marvel films.
Okay.
What?
Again, though, I think that Marvel's doing it to tell these guys, back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Because every time someone sues them, and I look, I don't want to stand in Marvel's corner, right?
Right.
But every time someone sues them, Marvel has to go to court, pay legal fees, all those things. And they don't get any of that money back.
Marvel owned by Disney.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
But my point is, I honestly think that Marvel did it as a means of telling these guys,
right,
unless you're really positive and you have the proof to back it up,
yeah,
quit the bullshit.
So what if, see, this is my problem with your position. So what if he thought he had proof enough to do it? What if he thought the documentation that he had or whatever proof that he had was enough that he felt the rights of the character were his and he had the right to go after it? I don't think this guy would have spent money, which I'm sure was a lot, to sue Marvel over something if he didn't have any proof of it or proof that he thought would be legally binding.
Here's the unknown as of now.
Okay.
We don't know what either party actually brought to the table.
That's true. But your position of Marvel is squashing this guy to send a message is crap, because there probably are guys out there who maybe have contracts that do say that they own a character or a character.
Then they should all sue.
Yeah, but you're saying Marvel did this to squash them and it cost them a lot of money.
I think they might have done it to squash one where there wasn't a lot of proof.
Yeah, but we don't know that.
Again, my position is partially speculative.
Right. So what is the message that it's sending? The message number one is, if you try to get what you think is yours from Marvel, not only are you not going to get it because they're going to dump Disney lawyers on you until you drown, and in addition to that, then they're going to come after you for stuff that has been a time-honored tradition forever. They're going to come after you for it.
Look, I think it was shitty on Marvel's behalf, but I think that especially in the early 70s when this took place, most of those guys were work for hire. The work was owned by Marvel.
That's fine. Again, I'm going to say this again. I don't think the guy sues Marvel Comics, a subsidiary of the Disney Corporation, right, without at least having a lawyer who says, you know what? I think we have enough here that we should take this to court. I just don't think that happens. So therefore, it's not like the guy was like, fuck Marvel, I own Ghost Rider, I think, and fuck them. I'm sure it didn't go that
way.
I'm sure he didn't shoot from the hip.
No, I don't think that he shot from the hip either.
So that said, what is the message that Marvel sent? Marvel says to its artists and its creators, you know what? If you don't have ironclad proof, right, and you come after us, or if you have any kind of proof and you come after us, you may win the lawsuit that you own the character, but we're going to sue you for copyright infringement.
Well, look, I mean, the sad truth is that we live in a world now where everybody is suing for copyright infringement and piracy. Yeah,
exactly.
And I don't agree with the time on. I agree that the time on a tradition is a good tradition, and I partook.
So we all do, and that's the problem. And see, but that's where I'm going to jump in and interrupt you, because that's the problem. The problem is now artists are going to have to really think hard before they do any of that stuff, before they sell their artwork, before they do sketches, before they do anything like that. Can you imagine what would happen to like comic book shows and artists at comic book shows? I mean, it's not only is it unprecedented, it's completely unwarranted. It was a spiteful move, because how dare you think that even if you did work for hire in the 70s, how dare you think that you own something that we own? How dare you think that?
Well,
meanwhile, Neil Gaiman just won a lawsuit about that very thing. We just talked about it a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
It's
the same thing.
Yeah, but in that case, Neil said that he did the work. He owned the characters when he created the work.
Okay.
I mean,
and I'm sure he had some documentation to back that up.
Clearly,
just like
he won.
Just like I'm sure this fella had documentation that he thought proved his case.
I'd love to see the court transcripts to see what both parties brought to the table. You probably can find them online.
Get them. We'll act it out.
But either way, it is what it is.
I'll be the douchebag Marvel lawyer.
All right.
This guy doesn't deserve anything he didn't do. He was work for hire. And let me tell you another thing. He draws our characters at conventions and puts out things. And we're going to sue him for that, too, because we need the money and we need to make a point. And that point is, you can't be an artist for Marvel Comics and then go and do things that are not from Marvel Comics.
Okay.
just wrong.
All right. I said it's a D-bag move, but I don't think it's... I understand the position.
You'd back the D-bag.
I understand the position. That's all. All right. Since tonight's episode is going to be a little heavy in segment two, we're doing a little...
Fatty.
Doing a little switcheroo.
Yeah.
So instead of taking a break now...
Geek stuff. DVD news.
Talk about DVDs.
It's a light week.
It's getting lighter.
Yeah, well,
we still, you know, like to point them out. But.
You know, we're in this weird time, and I should say also that the resource that we use to announce the DVD releases,
right,
sometimes is additionally updated after the point that we record. Because I went back to that resource. I don't want to name names, but I went back to that resource during my editing process of last week's show.
Yes,
and there were things like the new season of Big Bang Theory, the new season of Fringe,
right,
that also came out last week that we didn't mention.
Okay,
so we should put a little disclaimer here that says these are some that we're
subject
highlighting
to change.
You should do a little extra on your own.
Right.
All right, ones that came out this week that I wanted to point out: The Doctor, The Widow, and The Wardrobe. This was the 2011
Christmas special,
Doctor Who Christmas special, right?
Ah.
Also out on DVD this week.
Was that in any way based on The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yes, it was. And the Christmas special the year prior was Christmas Carol, kind of spoof.
Ew. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, really?
Yeah. Also out this week, The Lorax Deluxe Edition. This is the original Dr. Seuss.
The original animated.
Animated version, right, is out. So if you're a Seuss fan, that might be something you want to
pick
up.
That up.
And I think that's it. I think we'll leave it at that.
What? Really?
Yeah, I mean, Beavis and Butthead Volume 4.
Okay.
The Rum Diary came out this week. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we should say that Big Bang Theory and Fringe came out
last week. Well, we already said that.
Well, what season was that? Four
for Big Bang Theory? Four of Big Bang Theory. And I think it was Fringe 5 or 4 also?
Probably 4.
4 also.
3 or 4, I would say.
No, I think 3 came out the prior year. Yeah, so.
One of them.
So, yeah.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics to
right.
check out. Again, not many to check out this week. One of the ones you're going to want to check out is Daredevil from Marvel Comics. This is Daredevil number 9.
Now, is this Daredevil, or is this another guy?
This is the one that renumbered, and it's not.
Okay. All right.
It's not. What is it now? It's Black Panther, the world's most dangerous man, or something.
Without fear.
Yeah, it's not without fear anymore.
Right, right.
I think they changed it. Now, and for some reason, it's retained the numbering
of
Daredevil.
Right.
But this Daredevil renumbered.
I'm lost already.
Yeah. Mark Waid is the writer. Paulo Rivera doing the pencils. Joe Rivera doing the inks. Javier Rodriguez is the colorist. VC's Joe Caramanga is the letterer. I'm noting a trend.
Are you?
See. Si. Si, senor.
I don't know what you're saying.
In any event, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with Daredevil and Black Cat. And Daredevil's a weird book. He's actually fighting Mole Man, who I think is just...
Is that a Daredevil villain?
No, it is now.
I thought he was an FF villain.
It's just one of those... I don't know, man. It's just... I was so, like... happy that Daredevil was coming back, and now I'm just kind of I'm teetering on the edge of giving up.
Listen, again. this is your own fault.
Yeah,
you set yourself up.
I know,
and you know,
what I am really enjoying, and I think you are too. Batman issue 6 continues the Owl storyline.
Okay,
the Owlmen.
One of the best stories I've read Batman wise in a long time. I'm absolutely loving that story.
I think does it end here? I think it ends here.
I'm trying to think where the last issue wrapped up. It possibly could end. Maybe one more after this if it doesn't end here. But seriously, it's one of my favorite newer Batman stories. Like it's really well written. It's been a great story.
Yeah, these owl guys are great.
Yeah, I know. I want to see
is really cool.
I want to see someone put a figure out.
Where is it? That's what I'm thinking. Where is it?
Well, who's going to put it out? Is it going to be
DC Direct?
Well, I don't know. Is it going to be DC Direct or is it going to be Mattel? Because
We'll get to it. Well, no, you know what? If it was Mattel, we would have seen it at Toy Fair.
Well, but because I spoke to some people.
Oh, you did?
And DC Direct definitely did a little. Well, look, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
All right. So check that out. Batman number 6. We should say Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo.
Yes.
Doing writing and drawing Woo-hoo! There. And Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yay, Red Hood.
Number 6. Are you actually reading this book?
Absolutely, sir. I'm behind like 2 issues, but I'm reading it.
This book is mad good. And this one, of course, is Scott Lobdell.
Right.
And Josh Williamson doing the plot and dialogue, respectively. And the art is by Kenneth Rocafort.
Right. Follows Rocafort. Speedy, but I don't think he's Speedy.
He is Speedy.
Is he Speedy? Do they call him Speedy?
I think they do.
I don't remember if they actually called him Speedy.
Or they just call him by his name.
Yeah. And then Jason Todd, of course, is the Red Hood, Starfire.
And Starfire, who's like, can she wear some clothes again?
I don't think so. She's kind of a whore in the new book.
Hooah.
She is.
So those are the single issues that we want you to check out. One trade we want you to check out. This is Dead Man Book 2.
Okay.
It's collecting individual Dead Man stories.
Like one-offs?
Yeah, like one-offs.
Okay.
For example, just to give you a list, Brave and the Track of the Hook from Brave and the Bold 79. That's in 1968.
Wow.
They're chronological, too. This one is... What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's 9 stories from 68 to 70. Neil Adams, mostly they look like they have something to do with Neil Adams. Either the cover was by Neil Adams or the art was by Neil Adams. This is actually book two. Book one was along pretty much the same route. And what I like about it is that they're doing exactly that. They're going back to those issues. And they're reprinting issues that have to do with a specific character. Now, all of these have been reprinted in a big hardcover volume that is nearly impossible to get. It was a Dead Man oversized reprint. And now they've gone back and they're doing it in smaller paperback editions. So if you weren't able to get that, and I think it's, if I understand correctly, I think it's sold out and it's a little hard to get. But this volume is only going to run you $14.99. It has all those stories, as we said. The color has been remastered, but it's still fantastic art by Neil Adams. A lot of great classic stories in here. And I love the idea of doing something like this for a particular character. I'd love for them to do this for, like, the Metal Men.
Right, yes.
You know, go and hit all those individual issues where the Metal Men were in the story, or obscure characters like that, where I think they've made enough appearances in the DC universe, like Spotty, like that they could actually go back and do, you know, sort of a retrospective, if you will, much in the way they're doing for Dead Man here.
Well, I'm going to say that if you've never read a Dead Man book, you should be picking these up. It's a good character.
It is a
good
character.
If you've never, you've been like, who the hell, pick up. Pick up volume 2, go back and get volume 1.
They're not hard to come.
No, they're like considered modern printing. Yeah. So we're talking about a couple months ago, probably volume 1 came out.
Yeah, I think
out,
only
so,
a couple of months ago.
So it's a good character. It's and I'm sure it's probably a good read. I even haven't read. I mean, I've read a bunch of stuff, but I know not all of it. So I'll add that to my Philly Con list.
Your I'll buy cheap trades of it list.
My Wizard Con list.
That's it. The and what was the, I was thinking the other day, it would be really nice if they did this also with, and the way they're doing it now is they're making it nice and readable. Now, DC does do this with their, editions. You know, they collected them in the hardcover.
Oh, the Absolutes and stuff like
it's
that?
Not Absolutes, just the smaller one. The very simple cover with just the picture of whatever it was. And it's like, can't remember what that series is called. But they did recently, or not recently now, I think it's going back several years. They did, what was the name of that group? It's the group that the X-Men are based on, Doom Patrol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did this with Doom Patrol, and I would love to see them do, like, a readable version of that, you know, taking certain Doom Patrol issues and doing it. But that said, Doom Patrol, the ones that they did already, they did the individual issues that led up to Doom Patrol's own book, and then they did, you know, sort of the old Doom Patrol book. But, I mean, Dead Man's had his own title a couple of times, but they're actually printing the other stories, the individual, the one-offs, and the Batman Brave and the Bold kind of thing.
Right.
You know, like the little team-ups that he appeared in and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's a really great idea. I'd love to see them do that with some more obscure characters.
Absolutely.
That would be cool.
And I think with that,
Yes, OG, we will take our first break. Don't forget, you can reach out to us on the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave us a message, something you'd like to hear us talk about. We're still running the what would you like to have heard us talk about while we were off for 7 months.
That's right.
And when we come back, kicking off segment two this evening, will be just such a call, and we will react to it then.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. We've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course. And we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada, as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And, of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore. We're the comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're Masters of None.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin, to the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. On February 22nd, Sony has officially released their latest handheld gaming device, the Sony PS Vita. And holy shirt, does it look nice. The form factor is essentially the PSP, but with an impressive, vibrant 5-inch multi-touch screen, a rear touchpad, and finally, a second analog stick. For those few hundreds of game styles that require a second analog stick. And, of course, a D-pad, four face buttons, and left and right bumpers. It's a mobile device with graphics comparable to the PlayStation 3, and if you've seen the PS Vita's launch title, Uncharted Golden Abyss, they're not fucking around. It's taken years, but the premier mobile gaming machine has finally arrived. The only problem? The cost is also at a premium. The base price for the PS Vita is $250, but you'll also need a memory card. And while Sony has proprietary memory sticks, which you might already own, they've invented a new proprietary memory stick for you to buy all over again. What dicks? The 4GB stick costs $20, 8GB stick is $30, 16GB stick is $50, and the 32GB stick is $100.
Come on!
And you're gonna want that memory if you want to install games on your card. For instance, Uncharted Golden Abyss is approximately 3.8GB. Which would fill a 4GB memory stick. But other than the cost of entry, the PS Vita has one of, if not the strongest, launch game lineup. Army Corps of Hell is a Pikmin-style game, but you control little demons running around on the screen. Asphalt Injection, I'm not making that up, is a solid racing game, but a generic racing game. Dungeon Hunter Alliance is a solid dungeon crawler, but a generic dungeon crawler. FIFA Soccer, people like soccer. Hot Shots Golf World Invitational, who doesn't love Hot Shots Golf? Little Deviants, a collection of mini-games that gets old really fast. Luminous Electronic Symphony, you know you love it and you know you're going to buy it. Mod Nation Racers Road Trip, I don't understand the fascination. I guess people like making their own racetracks. Rayman Origins, beautiful game, little on the hard side. Only flaw, it's a single player, no Wi-Fi co-op. Shinobindo 2, Revenge of Zen, is from the makers of the Tenchu games, and it looks and plays exactly like the Tenchu games. Touch My Katamari, which is the latest game in the Katamari Damacy series, and it looks to be just as much fun as the previous entries. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you know what this is, and you know you're gonna like it. But can you adjust to the four face button layout? Wipeout 2048 is the racing game to buy if you're gonna buy any racing game for the PS Vita. And finally, Uncharted, The Golden Abyss, which is so remarkably beautiful, you know it's the system seller. But a lot of feedback I've heard from people is that it feels like an Uncharted game if you took out all of the big moments and just had the in-between moments of shooting and climbing. But I can guarantee you can't look at this game and say, oh, holy shirt, this looks awesome. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey, guys. This is the Doesn't Get It guy from New Mexico, Jeff from Albuquerque, and I'm glad you guys are back. I'm glad to see you guys are back on, but the one thing you have not addressed, and it really needs to be addressed, that turd of a movie, Green Lantern. I made the mistake of hosting a bunch of people, telling them how cool it would be to go see a superhero movie, and bad mistake. So otherwise, you guys take it easy. Glad to see you're back on the air, and take it easy. Bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 239, Toy Fair.
My lord.
No. Do I have to put the my lord when I...
My lord.
My lord.
Yeah. Thank you, my lord.
Well, of course, coming out of the break, you heard that lovely listener phone call from... I like how the listeners now run with their own names.
Yeah, they call
doesn't
them their
get a
own
guy.
Nicknames.
Well, I think we dubbed him Doesn't Get a Guy a while
oh,
back.
We did?
Yeah, back in the olden days.
Well, he got it now, didn't he?
He sure did.
Brought a whole bunch of people to see that Green Lantern movie, did ya?
Sorry.
Yeah, well, let's react to it. Ugh. That's one reaction.
You know, he described it as a turd of a movie. And
kind of underselling it a little.
I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, it was, you know what it was? Unfortunately, it just wasn't. I don't think it's what anyone expected it to be, in the sense that the first trailer made it look like a comedy. So everyone went in there like, oh, this is going to be funny. And
no.
Not only was it not funny, it wasn't fun. And it wasn't really great looking. And it really, really was bad.
It baffles the mind how DC Warner, right? Clearly knows how to put out a good superhero movie.
Exactly.
So what went wrong? And you know, a lot of people blame Ryan Reynolds straight
up.
And
they should.
And, see, I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, to a certain degree, it might have been casting Ryan Reynolds. But to a certain degree, you know, he can only do as good as script around
him. Yeah,
I
know. But I don't think
the script was really strong either.
I think when you have a Ryan Reynolds...
Right.
In that role, you have to expect, I mean, name a movie that Ryan Reynolds was in that didn't have some fairly significant comic element.
Smoking Aces.
Really? That whole movie was a comedy.
No, but you know what though? But all right. I think what they were going for with Ryan Reynolds, right? Was this kind of cocky Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that Ryan Reynolds probably could have done that. See, I happen to like Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
But I really think that they spent too much time trying to make him silly. He was too silly for...
And you know what?
And I don't know that it was just him. It was partially him, but I don't think the script was very strong either.
And you know what else? It's the villain was terrible. You know, the villains were terrible. I mean, you know, the CG wasn't really that great.
Yeah, it was like, meh.
Yeah, it was a lot of mediocre sort of stuff. And the worst part about it is there is a movie that could have easily stretched into three. I mean, you could have easily made a franchise out of that.
The last I heard...
absolutely dead.
The last I heard was... They were moving forward with a sequel. Not
really?
That was a bit ago.
Oh, no,
I don't know if that's dead, but I heard they were moving forward with a sequel.
Yeah, I heard dead because the DVD sales were zero. So
look, I mean, I guess anything is possible. But
anything is possible. Now you know what? Here's the flip side. He's going to do a Deadpool movie, and that movie's probably going to do really well.
Probably going to do very well
because that character it lends itself to a Ryan Reynolds. This should have had somebody like a Chris Pine. Or, you know, another someone you could take seriously kind of.
I will agree that Ryan Reynolds was probably not the best casting choice.
It should have had Nathan Fillion in it.
Nathan Fillion would have done
Nathan Fillion
fantastic.
Probably would have. Now, that said, that's one problem in what's probably a half dozen or a dozen problems that wouldn't have been solved by having Nathan Fillion in it. Like the CG wouldn't have been better if Nathan Fillion was in it. The
Correct.
Story wouldn't have been better. The choice for the villain wouldn't have necessarily been better. So there's a lot of things, you know, that could have very much could have easily been better that weren't, and that wouldn't have been corrected by changing Ryan Reynolds.
That's right.
Just one problem.
Anyway, that's our reaction to Green Lantern.
That's what we would have said about it if we had if we had talked about it the week it came out. We would have said it was a damn shame. And
Speaking
more
of
a
damn
shame. More of a shame is the fact that you brought people to it.
Correct.
So sorry for you. Sorry for them.
So do we want to do that first or do we want to do? All right, let's do this.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Right.
We got one to talk about today. And, you know, honestly,
it's a doozy.
We could have put it off. because we do have a lot of Toy Fair stuff to talk about. We easily could have put this off.
We could have.
But we can't.
We still can.
We can't. Well, we can't, sir.
All right, fine.
It is far...
Twist my arm, why don't
far
you?
Far too. It is the latest entry into the Batman black and white statue line from DC Direct.
And easily in my top five.
DC Direct is still making products.
That's right.
At least for right now.
Statuary, at least.
You know, we didn't... Unfortunately, we didn't get to see DC Direct. We didn't get over to DC Direct.
We were a little... We were kind of cock-blocked.
It wasn't that. It was that the timing just didn't
matter. Oh, no, that's right. You're right. It wasn't DC Direct. It was
barely walk.
It was the other one that we were a little bit cock blocked from. Diamond.
Yeah, no, Bandai. Diamond? Oh, but they don't have anything. So it's not like we missed out on anything. And interesting who's now working for Diamond. Anyway.
Those guys are just working everywhere.
I know.
Can I just say? I don't want to say.
Okay. I hate that. we didn't get into DC Direct.
Right.
Not for any reason. We had an appointment. We just couldn't make it. I mean, there was just other stuff going on. We just couldn't get back down there. It's unfortunate. Now, that said, it didn't seem to me like there was a lot of stuff that we hadn't seen in the book talked about the other day. It would have been nice to see some of that up in person, but we're fine. We're in contact with them. We're going to be bringing you other DC
Direct. You know why we didn't get into DC Direct? I'm going to blame MTV Geek. And I'll explain that later.
Okay. So latest in the Batman black and white statue line is designed by none other than Sergio Argonés.
That's right.
And sculpted by our friend James Shoup.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. And it is the great Sergio Argonés from Mad Magazine.
That's right.
And from Gru. Yes, for those of you that read Gru. In his own signature, inimitable style, he has portrayed the Batman here. And what's great about it is really left field of every other one of these statues. It's the first sort of, it's definitely a highly stylized and a highly cartoony and unrealistic Batman.
Right. I was going to say, you have to be careful when you say things like stylized, because the Mignola Batman, I would qualify as stylized
very
too.
Stylized.
But this is really the first one that's...
Funny.
Well, look, you know Sergio Argonés. You know his work. It's funny. It's campy. I'm more than positive we've probably seen this version of Batman or some rendition thereof done by Sergio in Mad Magazine.
I'm sure.
A billion times over.
And we should say, if you are listening to us on your iPad, iPod Touch, iPhone, iMac,
QuickTime.
That's it. We insert some of the images of the things. We insert images of the things we're talking about right in the feed, so you're able to see the images of the things that we're talking about, like the Sergio Argonés Batman black and white statue, as we talk about them. It's a technology that we enjoy. And you're working on something to do that on the website as well?
You know what? I hit a snag with
snag?
That. Oh. Yeah. The player that we use does not support the kind of file that has the
images later.
You have the images. So I'm working on a workaround.
Workaround.
There might be one.
Uh-huh.
I just haven't quite.
Well, in any event, if you're not listening to us on one of those devices or through QuickTime, of course, you can always check out the picture galleries for this episode over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. So the Batman black and white Sergio Argonés. Couple things to note about it. Besides its fine sculpting by James Shoup, its great design by Sergio, it is carrying the Mad seal of approval on there.
Which I found interesting.
Right.
Mad is owned by DC.
That's true.
So,
It stands
not
to
a stretch.
Reason. It's just the first thing. Well, it's really not the first thing to be identified other than DC Direct, because the ones from Arkham Asylum...
Okay.
We're also identified as being associated with whatever that company
Rocksteady
was. Is that what
Games?
It was? I think it was in some way there was some delineation of that. But this is a giant Mad
stamp. This
is
the
stamp.
Giant red Mad stamp, like
right
in the middle
of
the box. But it's appropriate.
It
adds to the overall feeling of the piece, that stamp on the box. So,
and let's talk about another significant thing about this statue that... This may be, unless we missed it last time, this may be the first time this has happened, and we're going to have to get word from DC Direct on this.
Okay.
This piece is not numbered.
On the package? What about
on the package, on the base, on anything?
Really?
Not numbered.
Have they been numbered in the past?
Absolutely. Every single one of them has had an edition number, meaning the total number of units right. created, 1,500 or whatever.
Whatever it is.
In the case of the first Mignola one, I think it was 10.
Right.
So, I mean, based on the price they're getting now. But every one of them, to my recollection, until this one, has been numbered. Now, if it was, if the last one we got was not numbered,
right?
It's just something that I missed. But this one for sure is not numbered. And I definitely looked. I looked under the base. I looked in all the typical places, and I didn't see it. So unless I totally missed it, these pieces are not numbered. Now, is that strictly for this particular piece? Or is DC now going to move forward without numbering their pieces, which would really be kind of a bad move from the perspective of collectors, I would think.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I mean the numbers are kind of part of the overall package.
I'm actually going to open it up just so that I've done it in front of you, OG, and you can verify. So you can verify there's no number on the box,
right?
And I'm taking it out now.
Let me see the package.
Okay, here you go. Check that out just to double check me, because I don't want somebody calling up next week and going, "Doesn't know it, guy says, you know, that they are numbered." I have the piece out. There is TM and copyright DC Comics, the number S12, which is not a number.
No, that's right.
This is number 12, which I doubt. There is no sort of paperwork in the box, no certificates of authenticity or anything like that to indicate that this is any sort of numbered piece. This piece is not numbered. So what does that mean? One, it means we don't necessarily know the edition size.
Right.
Two, we don't know if they are going to go ahead and stop numbering the rest of this series as well, which I think, after having numbered a series, would be a disservice.
Yeah, it just, to me, it doesn't really make sense. I'm not sure...
It's an element to collecting. It's an element to collecting these that I think is... important. Now, that said, I don't know that it will affect anyone's collecting, but from a collecting standpoint, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. It's it is what it is. DC Direct's decision.
It's a great piece. We're gonna get word from DC Direct. I'm actually gonna get them on the phone and be like, "What the hell?" And hopefully we'll have an answer for you next week.
All right. Let's move forward into the bulk of the show.
So the Lord.
My lord, no.
Toy Fair, no. My lord.
All right, let's start at the top.
Ye old Hasbro.
Hasbro.
Yeah, well, now let's start out negative, because you know Joe's going to hear this.
All right, listen. I actually, truth be told, I saw a lot of things at Hasbro that I liked. We're going to disagree on some things during this conversation.
Redhead who's running the Marvel line. Well, she's not running it. I always forget her name.
Victoria.
Is that what it was?
I believe so, yes.
She's cute.
She is. All right. So Hasbro, as you know from hearing us discuss it in years past, is like an epic adventure in patience.
So let's, let's talk about it. So basically what happens is it's the Saturday before Toy Fair, because technically Toy Fair starts on a Sunday.
That's correct.
So
it's the preview night of Toy Fair.
Sort of, if there was such a thing, yes. And you go to Hasbro. It's at the New York Times building. They have a presentation center. You go in, you sit in a large room with chairs, like a screening room.
Right.
They have a screen. You know, they project things on the screen for us to see, and so on and so forth. And then each major line, collector's line, is represented by a couple of people who are working on the line. Usually the heads of the line are working on it. Who are working on it are the ones presenting the line, and they'll show pictures, and sometimes they'll show other things, and so on and so forth. So let's talk about what happened this year.
Okay.
The first thing we're treated to is the vice president or president of Hub.
Yeah, I'm not sure
which
what his exact
the animation is the Hasbro Animation Channel.
Right. It's the partnership with Discovery that hosts shows like Pound Puppies, My Little Pony.
There's a new one.
Hero Bots and something else.
Yeah, right. It's all the Hasbro sort of related things. So to have a guy come out to a collector's meeting and presentation and spend 20 minutes presenting the hub to us. We've all had the hub shoved down our throat since the beginning of it. And the fact is, the only show on there anyone cared about was the Transformers show. And really, it's the Prime show, not even the Rescue Bot show, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it was cute, but yeah. I think Prime is probably
the focus. But to come out and go, come on, who loves My Little Pony? And you could hear a pin drop
right
on the cricket.
That's right.
And kill him.
Right, exactly.
And listen to him suffer and die because, I mean, it was nothing. And then, come on, who likes Pound Puppies? Nobody in here likes Pound Puppies.
Do you know who your audience is?
Yeah. Right?
You know
now look,
who you've invited to this event. Look,
there is a limited amount of time for this presentation.
That's right.
Because they got to get us down into the showroom. That's everybody right. has to, you know, wants to spend time. You know, some guys go down, they'll take a picture of every single molecule of everything right. that's on display down there. That takes time. Not to mention the fact that some of them are rude and some of them are pushy.
Right.
And some of them are a-holes. You know, and think that their site is the most important one in the world. We have it easy because, you know, we take a couple of pictures. We're patient. You know, we'll go where the crowds aren't.
We're not a photo site.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So we have the ease of
right.
of being able to not to do that. So, but for 20 minutes to present us with, oh, look, here's some upcoming footage from
My Little Pony. And it's like, really?
And then, you know,
really?
It's really absolutely and totally baffling. Now, I thought there were more people there this year, and I thought maybe they had invited some sort of Pound Puppy or My Little Pony or some brony organization right. members there.
I don't think
brony,
so.
Male yeah. fans of My Little Pony. I thought they invited some, maybe they expanded out a little bit. No, there was nobody there. Nobody was clapping and applauding when that happened.
Only the sales team behind the line itself.
Yeah. It wasn't the sales team. It was just this dude who was presenting it to us. And by the way, dude was presenting to us off a teleprompter like that. He might as well have bent full over because the teleprompter, I think, was on the floor in front of him.
All right. But let's say this, though. In all honesty, at least with the teleprompter, there was a little less.
Okay, all right, we'll get to that.
Do you know what I mean?
At least this was only one guy.
It's a little right? focused.
So after that
just debacle,
fabulous waste of time. You know, I mean, you know, you easily could have said, "Hey, don't forget about Prime during the Transformers presentation."
Right.
And that would have taken it could have taken as much as 3 minutes and it would have saved us 17. Why is that important? Well, because the next thing we're treated to is an hour-long presentation. It was a flat hour-long presentation of Transformers. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Transformers. OG
right.
is a fan of Transformers.
That's right.
So there was a lot to see. There was a lot to see because they really have a lot of stuff going on. They have the cartoon. They have this new thing. They're doing this other thing.
There's a video game.
Yeah, there's the new video game.
Transformers definitely, I'm going to say, is probably the license they have that has the most product coming.
That's yeah, over I would the next say that's year. True. Well, and you know how we know is because the line leader, and they're you know, they're both wonderful people, and they're all really wonderful people.
Yeah.
It's not like this isn't personal against them, but it's... When you get two guys up there, they start doing the Transformers vaudeville review.
Right.
It's really, really annoying. You know, it's with all due respect to them, I understand that they're trying to, you know, keep it light and so on. But you know what? If you kept it distinct and kept it moving, but when you start going, hey, Bob, how many Transformer Gen 1s do you think we're going to put out this year? I don't know, Phil. How many are we going to put out? Well, I say we're going to put out 20. Well, you know what, Bob? I say we're going to put out 30. Well, you know, Phil, I say we're going to put out 40. Bob, I'm going to tell you this right now. We're going to put out more than 40. More than 40 are coming this year. It is QVC.
It is.
It is, but you can't get anything.
All right, so a quick aside to this part of the story.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody, because people like to mouth off to us.
Uh-huh.
Just in case anybody thinks that this is something that we would not say to them,
right.
given the opportunity in
person.
Oh
yeah.
We ran into them in the floor.
That's right. We ran into...
The next day.
at least one Transformers
It was both Transformers guys.
And the gorgeous young lady who,
from Marvel.
From Marvel.
Who used to be on Star Wars.
She was on Star Wars, but now she's on Marvel. Whatever her name is, she's gorgeous. Anyway, we ran into them on the floor during Toy Fair, and we told them exactly what we just said to you.
Right. They came up to us. Hey, guys, how was it? How'd you like that? And we were like, well, we liked it.
Yeah.
But and we expressed our concerns.
But here's the thing. You know,
gotta cut out the witty banter.
It would have easily been 15 minutes shorter without that. Now, why does this matter? Because this program starts at 1:30.
Right.
Right? At 12:30 is when check-in is. The program actually starts at 1:30. So now you're at 1:50 because we had the hub presentation.
Right.
And guess what? It's over at 3:30.
Right.
Technically, it's supposed to be over at 3:30. Right? Hour-long presentation. Now we have, once that's over, and it's all great. Do we really need to see like all the, they call it the sizzle. You know, it's like a commercial or it's like a spot for like, you know, a specific product. Sometimes they'll show us a commercial. If there's a movie, which we'll get to in a second, they'll show us a trailer for the movie, regardless of the fact that everyone in the room has seen it probably 100 times or could have, or it has at least seen it once because it's been out for 2 months. And so on and so forth. And the video game guys come out and they say, here's the video game. They show us the trailer for the video game. Then they show us play footage from the video game and so on and so forth. And no one is denying any of this is cool. What we're denying is the fact that we really need to be time conscious here.
Right.
Okay. So since you have a flat hour presentation from Transformers, what you then get is a 20-ish minute presentation about G.I. Joe. Which included the trailer for G.I. Joe that has been out for 2 months.
Right.
Everyone has seen it. Oh, well, we just want to. And you know what? And again, nothing personal against the guys. One of the guys is Daryl DePriest, who is like many people's god. So, this is nothing personal against any of the guys, any of the people. I want to say that entirely because I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. But they showed us a trailer that had been out for at least several weeks at that point.
Right.
Right. So there's time. Then they have to go and they have to tell us, you know, about all the stuff that's coming out. And it's all great. But they're moving really rapidly through it because, you know, there's time concerns and there's still two more huge lines, one of which is Star Wars.
Right.
And we're like, there's no way we're getting out of here before 4 o'clock. And the thing is only till 5 o'clock or whatever it is. So we don't understand what's happening. Oh, they did tell us that since at the end of this, I should say, I'm jumping ahead. At the end of this, they did say, or maybe it was the beginning or at some point during it, they said, we realize we're running a little behind. So we're actually going to extend it to 5:30.
Yeah.
You know, which we were like a whole half hour, you know, like it just didn't seem like it was enough, but let's move on. G.I. Joe stuff looked awesome.
Awesome. You know what? They got some solid product coming out. You could tell that they learned from their mistakes in G.I. Joe, which is they pared down the selection.
Right.
But they really kicked up the quality
right.
of the pieces that they're putting out.
Right.
So there's not 1,000 figures that are coming out, but the ones that are coming out
are really good. Yeah, and that
and,
Bruce Willis figure as the original Joe, you will finally get to kit bash your very own 3¾ John McClane.
Right.
I think he's even wearing a wife beater shirt, the figure.
And the Shockwave Hiss Tank from San Diego.
That's a San Diego Con exclusive.
Looks great.
Awesome.
It's a nice follow-up piece to last year's Starscream. It was a Ghost Hawk, I think it was.
Right, something like that.
I mean,
Destro,
great stuff.
All in purple and the bat dressed up like a Constructicon or whatever. Yeah, it's a great exclusive. G.I. Joe stuff looks really great that's coming out. For those of you that are customizers and so on and so forth, lots of really great bits and bodies.
Lots of good army building pieces coming out.
Definitely
There's definitely some quality stuff. And we should say real quick, we will have photos of a lot of this stuff. So we're glossing over some of it, but there are photos.
So there's that. And then we get...
Star Wars.
No. Do we get Star Wars next?
We get Star Wars next. Marvel
last. Yeah, that's right. Marvel takes it in the brown the biggest because they go last.
Right.
Star Wars is 15 minutes.
Right.
It is 12% of Hasbro's business, roughly.
Right.
It gets 15 minutes.
All right. Now, let me just say this, and then you can comment on it.
Okay.
It got 15 minutes. Clearly, it probably deserved more than that.
Right.
However, when we got down into the showroom, we actually saw what they were showing physically. The already out, already been seen, far outnumbered the yet to come
right.
new stuff.
Right. But so, that's always the way it is.
I know, but my point is that Star Wars, comparatively speaking, did not have a lot of product
right.
coming out.
It didn't. But that said, it still deserved more than 15
sure.
minutes.
Oh, absolutely. It,
but
at least
you know,
20.
It's you know, the other thing is now is there's all this competing showtime between the conventions. So we'll show more at San Diego. We'll show more at Celebration. We'll show more at New York Comic Con, but not this year because they're not going to New York Comic Con.
Right.
Newsflash, Hasbro not attending New York Comic Con this year. That's what we heard anyway.
Right.
So so we get the Star Wars presentation, which is SM All.
Right.
You know, there is, yes, the big MTT that we've been talking about was shown. We saw it. No, the figures are not articulated, like we said.
Four of them are.
Four
16
of them are.
Them are not.
16 of them are just, I think, arms and head, and I think that's it.
It's pistol arm, and I think head, and that's it.
Wasn't it both arms?
No, it was one of the arms, I think, is unfrozen, so you can kind of like
move it up,
point and position the pistol. Hmm. But the other arm, I think, is locked.
It also comes with the Ben Kenobi action
that's right.
figure. That is the same one that is in the movie's Heroes line that has just come out.
Correct.
So they've done, I don't understand that maneuver, but they did it. Clone Wars, 19 figures for the entire year, half of which are already out.
Right.
So we saw, I think, 8 new figures that are coming at some point. But Clone Wars completely, in my opinion, passed over for things like Amped.
That's Star
that
Wars?
New, oh, that oh yeah. yeah. That new, it's a new sort of take on an old thing where you can take, you know, you have a classic ship like the X-Wing, but it all comes apart into pieces and there's giant holes,
right?
You know,
right.
that you can stick the parts together in different ways and create your own ship, or you can stick parts from the TIE fighter that also comes apart. You can do that. And there's all sorts of different ones that have coming out. Look, I understand that they have to do these things, but you know, when you finally have got the collectors on the side of a line like Clone Wars, they're finally interested, they're finally into it, and you throw it on the back burner and you say stuff like, well, you know, their ratings have been down a little bit. It's like, you know, the ratings have been down a little bit, but the toys are clearly not.
Right.
You know, so what's going on?
Well, we can't gloss over the San Diego exclusive.
No,
also,
we can't.
Right? We got to talk
about
that.
Let's talk about that because there was something fairly significantly funny that happened during it as well.
That's right.
So number one, San Diego Con exclusive this year is again
a box set.
A box set of figures. I think there's five.
No,
there's six.
There are technically seven in
seven.
The San Diego exclusive.
Right. It is built like a carbonite freezing chamber.
Right.
And all the figures are kind of on the side of it.
It's one figure for each film.
One figure for each film.
Plus
the exclusive figure, which is Jar Jar Binks in carbonite.
Right. So for those of you who have seen, there was that fan-made Jar Jar in
right.
carbonite. They kind of
stole
got
it.
A hold of those guys and did it.
Right. And there's a number of great things about it. One, it looks... On the reverse side, it looks like he's coming out, and you can put the Jar Jar figure, which comes in this set,
right?
Which represents Episode One. You can put that figure in there, like he's
defrosting
from carbonite.
Right.
The other figures in the line, didn't we count like at least three of them were troopers?
Well, it's Jar Jar is Episode
Jar Jar.
One. There's a trooper for Episode Two.
The Phase One clone trooper, is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
For Episode Three,
the Phase Two clone trooper, I think a shock trooper.
Okay,
the red one,
and then four was,
I don't remember. Was four a stormtrooper, sand trooper?
Four was a sand trooper,
right? Five was Bespin Leia.
It was Bespin Leia?
Uh huh.
And
I don't remember
was,
what six was.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember what
was it. A Vader figure?
There's. I don't think so. There is a special card. What happened was when they were doing the designs for the cards way back in the day,
right?
They, of course, there were some rejected designs. Well, they have now taken one of the rejected designs, and that's the one they're going to be putting all these figures on.
Right.
Two things to note here. One, those cards will go to retail.
Right, so you'll still get the chance to get those.
And so will these figures.
Right.
Right. So there's nothing exclusive about this pack except the packaging and the
Jar Jar and carbonite.
The Jar Jar and carbonite.
That will only be available in the pack.
Which will be carded.
Right.
but not numbered.
Right.
Because, to fix last year's debacle. Right.
Last year's debacle, of course, for those of you that know, the Vintage Collection is numbered. And they numbered the two exclusive figures in the exclusive last year, which nobody could get. So completists, who are, you know, are really angry at this point because they had to pay maybe, in some cases, several hundred dollars to get Salacious Crumb of the Mouse Droid on a numbered card because they were never made available at retail. Their answer to this, of course, is, did you notice this? A Mouse Droid comes with Grand Moff Tarkin in the Vintage Pack. And I'm sure Salacious will come somewhere down the line. The point is that they didn't make, and they admitted, look, we're not going to make that mistake again. They did not number the Jar Jar piece. So that's pretty much the exclusive. The only thing exclusive about it is the Jar Jar. These very, very same figures on these cards will be available at retail, much in the way the Revenge of the Jedi cards were at retail.
Right.
The other thing to come out of this, the other rumor, rumor, air quotes, to come out of this is that Vintage is ending. The Vintage Collection is ending in 2013.
Right.
They are going to continue, I'm promised, they're going to continue to do sort of these absolute or versions of the figures with all the articulation and all the accessories and everything, just like the Vintage Collection. It just won't be called the Vintage Collection anymore. They won't be on Vintage cards.
Right.
Why? We don't know.
Yeah.
And it's clearly because of, I think, the debacle between the original launch and the awful distribution problems of 2011 have now reflected poorly on Hasbro, and Hasbro has decided, well, clearly it's the Vintage line, not what we did.
Right.
Awful. And then lastly, it brings us to Marvel. Now, short of the gorgeous redhead who was presenting, you know, Marvel, the other part of it that's really news is that they finally got 6-inch back.
Right. Legends is coming back.
Marvel Legends and 6-inch coming back. Of course, they have the usual. They have a bunch of stuff for a Spider-Man movie. They have a bunch of stuff for the Avengers movie. No one's surprised by any of this.
And with the return of Legends.
Yes.
1,000 variants.
Yes.
Literally every wave at had least, one right. or two
variants
in every wave.
And they're not calling them variants. They're calling them like running changes or something.
Oh no, so, they flat out said variants during the presentation.
I know, but they also corrected themselves and said, well, it's not a variant. It's we're going to ship. Let's say they ship the first part of the line with figure A, then they ship the second part with figure B.
Right.
So for example, the best one I thought was the Wrecking Crew. So you get like the guy with the ball
right.
is the first one. But then halfway through the run, they'll replace that with the other guy.
Right.
One of the other guys in the Wrecking Crew. Another one was Daken, who's like Wolverine's son.
Right.
Whoever he is.
Drax was in there.
Draken, whatever his name is. They will ship the one with the mask on and then halfway through the one with the mask off.
Right.
You know, so that's the way that they're doing
it. Build-A-Figure's coming back.
Build-A-Figure in
Terrax.
Never went away over at Mattel, just saying.
Terrax looks good.
Terrax looks really good. Doesn't look really big.
What was the guy with the TV in his chest?
Arnim Zola? Yeah, you know who Arnim
Zola
is?
And there's a variant on that one. That's a straight up variant.
Yeah, that's just, it's one piece though.
Yeah.
They just have to swap out one piece.
Yeah, but the point is, for collectors.
You know who Arnim Zola is? Did you see Captain America?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
German,
I know who he is.
Little German scientist.
Yes, I know who he is.
That was the joke in there. Is like right. there's some little image of him on a TV screen in the beginning.
And, right. So
anyway.
So yeah. So
and Marvel is presented at the speed of light with the gorgeous presenter saying, "We can't show you these now. We just don't have time." Or there's going to be these coming out, but we can't show them to you.
Which was that? You know, can I say something? That was aggravating as all shit.
And
if they were doing it at a slower pace, right. the regular pace, and she was once a line saying,
right.
well, we can't tell you with this, then you know what? Leave it out of the fucking presentation right. and surprise us when it hits.
And two things like Damien strolling out with the lizard mask on, the lizard, what would you call it? The
lizard role play mask
on, and then him strolling out again later with the role play Hawkeye bow.
Right, right.
And shooting an arrow out into the audience or whatever. You know, those things are it's sad because you have no time as it is, and you waste time doing stuff like that.
Right.
We just want to see the product. We want to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and so on and so forth. And we don't need these humongous, awful, like, skits and comedy in the middle of it. Just right. tell us what you're doing. That's what we're there for, you know? And it would take, it would be so much more enjoyable, and it would be so much more evenly spread, and it wouldn't be guys ganging up on dudes downstairs to ask the questions, because guess what? Now it's time to go downstairs. No time for Q&A.
Right.
So any big questions that you wanted to ask, you had to gang up on guys downstairs.
Daryl was like,
Daryl DePriest had, no lie, at any time, like five guys asking him questions.
Right.
Guys from Star Wars had questions the entire time they were down there. There were guys asking him questions. Does this happen in years where there's a Q&A? Sure it does. But does it? But it was out of control this time around. Right. You couldn't get near. I had to, God help me, I had to wait in line to say hello to Jesse Falcon.
Oh.
You know, I mean, like, I and it's not like I really had any questions. I wanted to congratulate him. I'm getting six Legends back. Yeah. I know that this is something that he's wanted to do for a long time. I'm sort of out of it, so it doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just saying, like, when it's that thick, it just, you know, on top of now having to shoot every single thing, every molecule of everything, and there are guys who just take five shots of every figure. And you know what? The guys that are in and out, God bless them. The guys don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they're taking 10 minutes shooting one figure. They got to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, well.
Number one. Anyway, the point is that I think that we learned a lot from the Hasbro presentation. But what we really learned from the Hasbro presentation is that whoever's directing the Hasbro presentation needs to really, really kind of, you know, I don't know, trim the ends.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, they got to figure out a way to actually do it a little bit better.
And I think we may have a video segment upcoming, sir.
Okay.
That may explain to him how we might do it.
Okay.
We have to talk to production Tim about that. So that's pretty much Hasbro in a nutshell.
Sure.
I mean, it's you know, it's a very long afternoon. Oh, well, we didn't mention, of course, OG and I took our annual lunch at Schnippers.
That's right.
Which is on the corner. We had the traditional Sloppy Joe and onion ring lunch.
Right.
And it was delicious, although later on, a little gaseous.
A little gaseous. Things were rumbling later on in the day.
They are so good, though.
I know.
Holy crap.
Deadly good.
Deadly good. We also want to mention, right at this point, I should have mentioned this earlier, we got to hang with some awesome guys. Another highlight for me at Toy Fair this year was at the Hasbro presentation and other presentations, we got to hang with guys from other sites that we really enjoy, like Paul from Jedi Temple Archives.
Right.
We got to hang with the Yak Face dude, whose name I forget. Chuck, also from Jedi Temple Archives.
Right.
We want to mention that him as well. The guys from the Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
Some
of the guys from Reflection DX.
Force News.
Yeah. All.
I can't remember. Yeah, all those guys. We hung with the Yoda News guys also. They were awesome. I mean, we hung with a lot of people. Of course, the toy curmudgeon was there as well.
Right, of course. I think we probably embarrassed Joe a little bit when we called him Big Sexy.
That's true. That's okay. That's all right. He can take it.
He still loves us.
But that said, one of the highlights, again, from Toy Fair for us is that we get to see our friends.
The social aspect
right.
of the convention.
And we get to hang with guys. Awesome sites to check out are definitely, without question, JediTempleArchives.com, YakFace.com.
Yep.
Oh, James from Jedi News.
From Jedi News,
from
yes.
From the UK.
From the UK.
Also, the Yoda News, also a terrific site. And... the podcast, I can't remember. They have the greatest tagline. It's like, this is podcasting, you know, like this is,
yeah.
This is, you know, what you call it? This is pod racing. Remember the line from episode one?
Not a clue.
Now this is, he says it when he's in the Naboo fighter.
Yeah, I vaguely remember, but anyway, I don't remember the exact one.
They're great. I think it's Star Wars something. I'll have the name of it by the,
Next episode?
No, next segment. Let's actually take a break, OG. And okay. Then we want to hit a few more points really quick on this episode, this extended Toy Fair, my lord, episode
right.
of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we'll be right back.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
What we saw at LEGO. Well, the first thing we saw at LEGO, of course, was Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Great new sets coming from LEGO. They picked up the license, and they have a lot of fantastic stuff on the horizon for Lord of the Rings. We got to see several of the sets.
Sure. Mines of Moria, right? I think that was one of them.
Yeah, there was a bunch. Yeah. Shelob.
Shelob was one of them. Yeah,
there was a bunch there. There was really great stuff. You should see a great picture of the LEGO Gollum.
Yes.
Which I took. OG, I'll send that over to you so you can pop that up on the website. And we did see a whole bunch of great stuff at LEGO. We also saw more LEGO Star Wars.
Right.
Lots of LEGO Star Wars
stuff. Some interesting stuff in the Star Wars line. What was it? The TIE
something or
Fury.
Or, yeah, something like, you know, Fury class or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah, they're making some obscure-ish ships, which I think is really great.
The advent calendar, the Star Wars advent calendar for next year.
Yep.
I have to have it.
Oh, really?
Darth Maul in the little winter jacket.
Oh, really?
The little Hoth jacket with it wrapped around his head, and R2-D2 as a snowman. I have to have it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Must have that next year.
I'll split it with you.
The other big new line, the start of the Marvel.
Yes.
Line. Marvel licensed now.
Yep. Marvel and DC both now licensed from LEGO or to LEGO. And they had some Avengers stuff there. They had some of the DC stuff there that's already been released, but we know more is coming.
So the criticism of the Avengers stuff and the Marvel stuff, which isn't really a criticism, more maybe a comment, was that we hope that going forward we get to see comic book representations of some of those characters as opposed to their current movie counterparts,
right?
Which we understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But the Magneto figure that they had was clearly a comic book version.
Right.
Clearly. The coloring and the deco.
Right.
So once the Avengers is done, you should see classic Iron Man and classic Cap.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more of that kind of thing, which is really great. It's great for LEGO. It's a great license for them to have. DC, of course, is a great license for them to have as well. We were fairly, I would say, disappointed by the news that Alien Conquest
is gone,
which we thought was maybe the best thing LEGO did last year.
Yeah, I would say that.
I'd say it's subjective, of course, to your own personal taste. But from my opinion, Alien Conquest was, I think, the best thing they had did last year. Now, this is, of course, one of their own created lines.
Right.
You know, so it's not a licensed thing. I thought it was great. I thought everyone thought it was great. And we also thought, and we may have been flat out told, although I'm not sure, if we were told that there was more of it coming. But apparently it's been replaced by something called Monster Hunters.
Well, before we get to Monster Hunters, I think there was some confusion, and maybe we should clarify this for the listeners too.
Okay.
Alien Conquest, while certainly there is no new product coming out,
right,
they are not stopping production of what was already made. They're going to roll forward with the content that's already made.
Whatever is already
so you'll still be able to get them. So it's not like you've missed out and now it's over.
Right.
Okay.
That will happen, though.
Eventually.
Yeah. And it will be replaced by Monster Hunters.
Lackluster.
Yeah, I didn't really dig it.
The only thing I liked out of the Monster Hunters display was the hearse.
Yeah.
Dracula's. Everything else kind of felt like it was,
you know,
bits and pieces of other sets.
Right.
Like, here's an old castle set.
Right.
And we'll put a Dracula piece and a Wolfman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to the Alien Conquest, where every piece was unique and different and new.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about it. You know, that's the part that really bummed us out.
Right. And I was so looking forward to more Alien Conquest. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that said, of course, some of the other lines that we've talked about on this very program are continuing, like architecture.
Right.
There's a bunch of pieces coming out for architecture. We'll be talking about them on the show. Their other lines. The other big news from them, of course, was their was it LEGO Friends
right.
or something? It's a line that is directed at the young ladies.
Right. That's moving forward. A lot of new pieces in that line.
Right. And there is some controversy over that line. Mostly between OG and women we know. And but I think overall, I think it's been well received.
Absolutely.
And there was a lot of great stuff to see. A lot of great stuff to see at, like,
yeah, look, the city line is moving forward. Yeah, all of their games lines are moving forward.
Right.
I'm trying to, did we see Harry Potter? We didn't see Harry Potter.
I don't recall seeing.
And we didn't
Harry
see
Potter.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. So they might be kind of,
so those are
going
probably
away.
Going away.
Right.
But look, Lego always has a good showing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Lord of the Rings stuff.
And Star Wars.
I'm excited for the Star Wars, the continuation of DC, and the addition of Marvel. That's what I took out of Lego.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should say also that we are going to be starting a regular Lego thing, much like we've done with D&D in the past.
Okay.
We're going to work on a Lego thing. Well, we're working with Lego on a regular segment, which we think you'll enjoy. And if you'd like to be a part of that segment right now, we'd like to have you name it.
There you go.
And our contest this week, name our Lego segment. You can give us a call at our GVM line.
425-920-6050.
You can also write us at geekstuffog
at gmail.
Correct. And make sure you start all of those emails with, "Hey, Kev."
Right, the easiest way to get your entrant eliminated.
You're just upset. Or any of the other ways that you can reach us. You can Twitter OG.
Sure.
Do whatever you want to do. We're going to pick a winner at random, and we're going to send you a Lego prize.
Woohoo!
Lego prize!
Lovely!
So, yes, so do that. We'll give a good, what do we want to give, 2 weeks for that, OG?
Well, let's give it 3 weeks, okay, since we're not technically here next week.
Right.
So let's say March 7th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
There you go. It's Name Our Lego Segment. It's going to be a regular segment on the show. If you get the name, it's going to, you know, you're going to.
Oh, actually,
it.
You know what? Hold on.
What?
Let's extend it 1 week past that.
Okay.
Let's say March 14th.
March 14th.
Because God knows when this episode will actually get online. So let's say March 14th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard
Time. There you go. And you will win a fabulous Lego prize.
That's right.
And what else can we tell you? That's about it for Lego. However, there are two Lego-related additional
things.
There
are two?
Two.
Oh, okay.
First is, we found a real douchebag making Legos in Europe.
Who are you?
Yeah, it's essentially, they're just knockoff Legos is what they are. And it says, there's little signs that we're made in Europe. Like a little Lego guy holding up a sign, "We're made in Europe." And they're all like military and
right,
like
all the shit Lego won't do.
All stuff Lego won't do, these people are apparently doing. And the salesman was such a douchebag. You know, we were looking at the stuff and we were like, it's kind of interesting. I wonder why this is being made, because it's clearly a ripoff of Lego, and how come they're still allowed to do it and so on and so forth. And the salesperson, the person there, was talking to somebody else and was like, "Who are you?" And we were like, you know, we said who we were. And he's like, "Oh, well, here's my card. Here's my catalog. You know, and you should talk about me on your show."
Who are you? What do you do? Do you own a shop?
Yeah, do you own a shop?
He was a dick.
Just a douche. And we were like, "Okay, we're going to talk to you, talk about you on our show." So here we are, douchebag. We talked about you on our show. We don't like your stuff because you're flat out ripping off Lego, number one. And number two, you're a douchebag.
Right, exactly.
You're an overzealous douchebag who didn't appreciate the fact that had you not been one, we might have been able to say something nice
positive
about your product, but we're going to say that you're a douchebag.
Right.
And we're going to actually mail the link to this show to
to
him.
That douchebag. Yeah. He could douche with it. And
do whatever he wants to it, dumbass. And then finally, I want to mention, because it is sort of Lego related, I want to mention really quickly, I think one of the best things we saw at Toy Fair this year.
I'll agree with this.
Brick sticks.
How has Lego not done this on their own?
Indeed. So brick sticks are sort of generic, like color forms.
Right.
That you stick on Lego pieces.
Right.
So they're made of like that thin plastic.
Yeah.
You know, like that Lego makes decals of, but you can remove these. There's two different kinds. There's ones that will like stay on and you can pull them right off like color forms.
Right.
But there's also a kind that's slightly more sticky that you can reposition.
They're repositionable,
which is what they said.
Right.
I think it's is it bricksticks.com? Look that up, OG.
Sure.
They had like they must have had two dozen different sets of these in both the sticky and non-sticky versions. And there were all sorts of things. There were like voice bubbles. There were like flames. There were all these things that you would think Lego would have thought to do. There were like different outfits. There were zombie ones that you could like make zombie Legos, I guess. There were all sorts of like little outfits, all sorts of little things that I think Lego people would really enjoy having or probably have customized themselves in some way. In their time of their Lego fandom, I think they were called Brick Sticks. It might have been with an X.
Yeah, they were. It's BRICKSTIX.com.
Right, and you can go on there. You can check them out, and we're going to actually get into Brick Sticks a little more
sure.
when we have them to talk about. And we're going to be giving some Brick Sticks away
right.
on this program as well. So we're very excited about that. This is and like OG said, it's one of those things where you're like, why the hell? Why the hell did no one at Lego think of this? And maybe they have. When we asked them, they said, we're in talks.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, you might enjoy Brick Sticks, the company, for a very short time.
Correct.
In the sense that you may see a new product from Lego at some
right.
point down the line. It was really, really cool. It's another way where you can take something and you can kind of make it even more your own. Customization now is
key.
One of the key factors in anyone who collects or plays with toys, collects in particular, or does any sort of their own artwork and that kind of thing with toys. So, bravo, Brick Sticks. We can't wait to talk more about them. And we can't wait for our new Lego segment
sure.
either. Very exciting stuff with Lego. I've never been such a big fan of Lego in my entire life.
One of the things I said at Toy
right
Fair
now.
Is that my desire to play with Lego is coming back, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, really, really dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Them sets ain't cheap.
No word.
But that said, they're awesome. I mean, they're worth it. That's why they're
truth.
Expensive. So, and with that, OG, I will regrettably bring this podcast to a close because we do have so much more to talk about Toy Fair. But check back with us in 2 weeks for episode 240.
Right.
Which we will name a funny thing at that time.
Before we fully close, though.
My lord.
We do have to say, check out Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
Right. Superpowercollectibles.com for all of your collecting needs.
That's
toys,
right.
statues, comics, all of the stuff that we talk about here on the show.
Yeah, and if you're looking to buy something, you got some money to spend, go over there, spend $50.
Right.
And you're going to get $10
off. That's correct.
Using the coupon code BIGKEV.
That is also correct.
You do it yet, OG?
No.
Jeez.
Look, I had Toy Fair.
I've done it like 3 times.
Well, good for you.
Just saying. I'm not a liar. I've done it. The point is that you can save $10 off a $50 order.
That's right.
It's terrific. We're really happy to be a part of that. Superpower Collectibles has got some great stuff. So check it out over at superpowercollectibles.com.
Correct.
Conveniently.
And with that,
OG, I will bring this episode now to a close by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wander.